Tonight we have another good crowd, and I want to tell you how happy I am to see you here. I know there are things you could be doing besides coming to this meeting tonight, and I am so pleased that you have chosen to come be part of this. And I know that God is glorified. I suppose when we get to the end of our lives, there may be some things that we regret. Things we wish we hadn't said, things we wish we hadn't done, days which we wish we could relive, because if we could relive them, we would do things differently the second time around. But may I suggest to you that you will never regret the time you spent worshiping God. You'll be glad for every assembly, every song, every prayer, every time you worshiped Him. And I'm so glad that you've come tonight to do this. I want to thank you for inviting me for the meeting. I don't remember how many years ago we scheduled this, several years ago, and it's just a real honor to get to come. I want to thank the elders for their foresight in planning not only the meeting, but also how we would handle the meeting, to have it as a family meeting. I think is rather unique, and I hope that you've enjoyed it and hope it's been beneficial. I want to thank them for inviting me to come. I want to thank all of you who prepared food. You people eat good around here. I mean, really good. And I'm grateful for that. And the prayers have been so thoughtful and good. And scarcely any, perhaps none, of the prayers have been without some mention of me. And I appreciate all of your prayers very much. And thank you to the good song leaders. We had good singing every night. And I'm just so glad I've gotten to come. I want to finish up tonight with a discussion that begins really where we left off last night. In Ephesians chapter 5, the very bottom of the chapter, and I'm not going to re-preach last night's sermon, but I want to key in on this bottom verse and from there launch into the night's lesson. Nevertheless, let each one of you so love his own wife as himself, and the wives see that they respect or reverence their husband. Would you just appreciate the fact that this comes at the conclusion of a rather lengthy discussion about marriage and how it's to be done and how we're to view it, and the philosophy of marriage. I would suggest to you that this culmination is a summarization of what a husband needs most and what a wife needs most from marriage. Now, I understand that the intimacy of marriage is not included here, and that's a very important discussion. But setting that aside, I think these are the most important things. I think what a husband needs the most from his wife is right here in this verse. And what a wife most needs from her husband is right here in the verse. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to divide this sermon into two halves. In the first half, we're going to talk about how to love a man, a husband. And then I'm going to shift gears and we'll talk about how to love a wife. And it shouldn't take more than 2 hours. I'm just kidding. How to love a husband. How to love a husband. And the Bible has a great deal to say about this, and we talked some about it last night. In Genesis chapter 2, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, the twain shall be one flesh. And what he said in Genesis 2 was that this creature created for Adam, who he named Eve, was to be the help meet for Adam. Now sometimes we put those two words together and we mispronounce it. We say, she's his helpmate, which is a very interesting word, only it doesn't really exist. It is two words. It's help and meet. Help, meet. You know what help means, but meet means perfectly suited for. She was his helper who was perfectly suited for Adam. That is to say, then, that God made a custom-made woman for Adam. What a fascination. I want to ask you a question. What if God, now I'm not being silly, I'm serious about this, and I want you to take it seriously. What if God created an Eve for your husband? What if God created a custom-made wife for your husband? What would her personality be like? What would she be like? What I want to suggest to you is that is what you need to set your goal to be. The other day, Mrs. Colley and I we got in the car after worship on Sunday morning and about to put out of the parking lot, and one of our sweet teenage girls was passing along in our path, and so we stopped and waved at her, and she walked on, and I said, "Isn't she a pretty thing?" And Cindy said, "Glenn, I don't think that you should call women things." And I said, "Well, honey, the good book says in the book of Proverbs, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." I love it when that happens. It so seldom does. May I ask you a question? In your home, ma'am, what's good about you? With reference to how you treat your husband, with reference to how you view yourself as his help meet, what's good about you? I said last night that nobody in creation is suited for your job other than you. I mean, God made woman specifically for the purpose of having a helper for the husband. That was the purpose. So that what you don't have is the world's view of marriage. The world's view is that in marriage, I mean, if they bother to get married, that you have two corresponding parallel lives going on through life. That's not it at all. That's not biblical. Biblically, what you have is one life, that's the man, and you have the woman who is the supporter of that man. So that, do you know what Eve's other name was? Genesis chapter 5. The Bible says that he called their name Adam. Do you get it? Now this principle was applicable not just in the Old Testament, but it comes over to the New Testament. And I'm not going to, I talked about this a good bit last night, and I'm not going to redo it, except to say when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 paints it this way. It says, "Now the head of Christ is God, the head of man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man." And in verse 8, he says it this way. "Man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man." We're not talking about two parallel lives here. We're talking about the man, the husband, and the wife who plays a supportive role to her husband. Now, that may seem very strange, and I know that it's not what our culture would have us to believe because of this, all this equality business. The equality idea in marriage, of course, is really absurdity. To suggest that man is like a woman and woman is like a man is to ignore the obvious. God never, ever meant for a man and a woman to be the same. He always meant for them to be different. Now, they both have souls. Galatians chapter 3 and 27 says that. And we're going to go to the same heaven. But we serve a different role in marriage. Of course we do. And we're different for a purpose. We're two corresponding pieces to the same puzzle. To deny that is to do ourselves harm. We're going to hurt ourselves, right? What we need to do is to admit what God has created. And that is the supportive role of the wife. Now, your husband, as a man, is a fixer. I don't know what your husband does for a living, but I can tell you what it amounts to is correcting problems. We find and identify problems and we fix them. We're fixers. All right? We have that in our bloodstream. But something else is in there too. You got to appreciate this. You know what a man wants most of all from his wife? And I'm setting the intimacy of marriage aside for this discussion. That's an important discussion for another day. Do you know what a husband most wants from his wife? Respect. It's what's in this verse in Ephesians 5 and 33. What he most wants is a wife who looks up to him. Now, he ain't going to tell you this probably because it seems kind of wimpy to say, "Couldn't you respect me?" Or, "I'd really love to be your hero." But that's what he wants. He desperately wants it. There's something deep inside of a man that wants to be married to a woman who respects him, who looks up to him and admires him. Now, what happens with a woman is really a tragedy, I think. And I think many times a woman, a wife that becomes a nag, I know that's ugly. I don't mean to be ugly. But, you know, she doesn't mean it. She may not mean it at all. Sometimes it's a maternal thing. You know, when you have babies, how do you express love to your babies? Well, one of the wonderful ways a mother expresses love to her babies is by correcting them. And, you know, you don't ignore them. If you love them, you don't ignore them. And so when you're with them, you're just, a mother is constantly saying, here, come sit over here. No, don't do that. Don't eat that. Now I want you to eat your vegetables first. Then you can have your dessert. No, I don't. Quit touching your sister. Don't touch your sister. Now you sit over here and you sit over here. And she's just correcting all of the time. And that's an expression of maternal love. That's good. But what happens if it bleeds over to the marital relationship? Sometimes, and let's listen to this old preacher, sometimes what happens is that what comes out of her mouth is, I love you. Because she thinks that anything that is not broken could still be done better. Right? And so what she's saying is, I love you. What's going into his ears is, you're broken and I'm trying to fix you. And it chisels away at what he needs the most in life. The man most needs from marriage a wife who respects him. And that's what this verse says. You may kill him with the death of 1,000 cuts and not even realize what's going on. You say, well, I correct him because I want him to meet his potential. And she's like a chihuahua. She just nips at his heels all the time. You know when we used to have those record albums? You remember the record albums? And if you got a scratch on one, what would happen? And sometimes a woman can get like that. You're so insensitive. You're so insensitive. You're so insensitive. You're so insensitive. Right? You know what he wants? You know what a man really wants? He wants to be your hero. He doesn't want to be your project. Can everybody hear me in here? Because this is important. This needs to go to the depths of your heart. Your husband doesn't want to be your project. He wants to be your hero. And if you ever, ever want to help him to meet his potential, make him your hero. He'll break his neck trying to be what you believe he is. He knows about his faults. He knows about his weaknesses. But there's something yearning out inside of him that God planted in there that needs what this verse says. I think the most important thing to a man is have a wife who respects him. Now, before I go any farther with this, ladies, if you feel uncomfortable about what I just said or about what the Bible says about the submissive role of the wife, and I know you'd never do this, but sometimes when this is taught, women sort of roll their eyes at that. Submission, submission, submission. Slave driver. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. We covered that last night. But I want you to know a secret. And if you get this, I'm telling you, God will bless your life and God will bless your marriage. You've got the magic that he doesn't have. Now listen to me. This is my own personal philosophy, and I want to throw it out and see if you don't think it rings true. A man is like a dog, and a woman is like a cat. Now I'm going to play this out, and I mean no insult to anybody here, right? But here's how this works. A cat's different from a dog. We've had both at our house. We've had cats in the house, which I said we'd never do. But then Cindy did this trick thing on me where she says, you know, Hannah wanted one really bad, and no, I said, I don't think I would. No. Well, Glenn, you know, Hannah's only going to be young once. Oh. Let's get that cat. We should get that cat. Anyway, and of course, Hannah married last summer, and that's all. And she took the cat. That's good. That's good. Okay. Let me tell you about a cat. You come home from work, and the cat's over across the room, and you say to the cat, come here, let me stroke you, and I want to scratch your belly, and I'm going to give you some cat food that cost way more than it was worth. And you know what that cat's liable to do? Look at you and then do this. Right? You ever had a cat? She's just apt to walk right away. That doesn't affect her unless she wants it to affect her. You could take that cat to the vet and say to the vet, I think my cat's sick. Well, what are the symptoms? What's she doing? Well, and then describe what I just described. What's the vet going to say? Well, man, this is a cat. That's just the nature of cats, right? All right, what if it's a dog? Come home from work, same thing. Say, come here, boy. I'm going to pet you, and I'm going to feed you some dog food that I bought at Walmart that tastes like cardboard, right? And what's the dog going to do? Now, you know what the dog's going to do. See, what's going to happen is God put a mechanism in that dog. You're not going to get that sentence completely out of your mouth before that dog's going to come running. And if you whipped him the day before, he's going to come slower. He's going to tuck his tail, but he's still coming. Right? Because that's the nature of that dog. Listen to me. And if you drew any offense from this analogy, I mean none. You have a magic, ma'am, inside of you, God put there. And I guess maybe really it's inside of your husband, in that there's a mechanism that he is inclined to respond to you. Now, you could say this is sexual, and it partly, I suppose, is, but it's more than just that. There's a mechanism inside of a man that responds to a woman who is feminine and who respects him and looks up to him. And I'm telling you that unless there's some great darkness inside of him, he's going to respond to that in a positive way. He responds to a woman who looks at him as a hero, who respects. Sometimes a woman, her husband goes off and he has a sinful affair, an adulterous affair, and it just breaks her heart. And then she learns who the other woman is, and she says, "I don't understand it. I'm much prettier than she is." When in reality, what happened was that there was a woman who showed her husband some kind of respect, maybe some cheap flattery, but his soul, and I'm not justifying the sin of adultery, you know that, but his soul longed for a woman who would look up to him and treat him with some kind of respect. Ephesians 5:33 says that what he needs is the wife to see that she reverences or respects her husband. May I ask you the question again? What's good about you? In your home, what's good about you? What do you do to be his Eve? What would it mean to have reverence for your husband or respect for your husband? I'm not trying to be hard on you. I just want us to I want the light bulb to go off, because this is man's greatest need in his marriage. All right? All right. Now it's 6:30. Let's flip it over. Let's talk about it from the reverse. What does a wife need most? This verse, again, Ephesians 5:33, says that a husband is to love his wife as his own body. Now, that's very interesting. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, after a discourse on the subject of how a wife is to treat her husband, Peter says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Dwell with her according to knowledge. That's very interesting to me. Now, see, when a husband and wife, or a man and woman, come into marriage, they haven't figured out yet that they're different, not just physically. They figured that part out. But about this thing called affection, both of them enter into the marriage with the full confidence that they know what affection is and they know how to show it. The problem is, when a woman thinks about affection, she's thinking about one thing. And when a man thinks about affection, he's thinking about something quite different. They're not the same. And this verse says that I'm to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. Now, please bear in mind that there are some kinds of affection which are natural and some kinds which have to be learned or taught. This says I'm to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. I'm saying to you that I believe that some kinds of affection that we should show to our wives are things that we just don't naturally know. We men don't naturally know. They have to be taught. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, when my babies were born, we have two children, and Caleb and Hannah. When they were born, I was present for both of their births. Now, that wasn't my father's generation. Now, see, my father's generation, that would never happen. And then my father heard that I was going into the delivery room with my wife or our babies. In fact, I think what he said was, "Doesn't this seem a little like going to the operating room for an appendectomy?" Well, not to me. And I wouldn't take $1 million for the... You know what? In both cases, that doctor was smart enough to let me hold the babies first. The nurses took them, cleaned up and wrapped in swaddling clothes. But I was the first one to hold those babies. Now, when I did that, nobody had to tell me that I was supposed to love them. Nobody had to say, "I want these children to be a part of you. I want you to love them, to protect them, and to provide for them." I just knew that. And you remember, for those of you who have children, that you had inside of your soul kindled feelings, emotions which you had never felt before when you held those babies for the first time, right? Now that is natural affection. That's very natural. When I was coming on, you know, a young man, I knew that I wanted to marry a woman, not a man. I wanted to marry a woman, right? Now that's very natural affection. But now follow me. Again, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, in reference to our wives, says, dwell with them according to knowledge. See, that's taught. That's taught. And I think that's important. How do you show love to a wife, affection to a wife, in the way that she will understand it? How do you speak to a wife's heart in the way that she will understand your affection? Let me give you five categories. Number one, and I'm going to phrase these in kind of a silly way, but I hope that it will make it a little bit more memorable for you. The first one is the Cary Grant category. And are y'all old enough to know who Cary Grant is? Some of you are. Okay, good. Okay. The Cary Grant, well, for those of you back there, you know, Cary Grant was a famous movie actor, and he was very, very romantic and a great actor. Anyway, the Cary Grant category would be the kinds of things that you'd normally think about of showing affection to your wife. But I need to start here. The kinds of things that maybe you don't think much about. Now, for example, flowers. Most wives really like flowers when they're brought to them by their husbands. Now, I'm not like that myself. If Mrs. Colley never brings me any flowers, I mean, I like flowers, okay, they're pretty and they smell like a funeral and all that, but I don't care if she never brings me any flowers, because I don't, you know, that's not any big, but I'm telling you something, when I bring her a fistful of flowers, there's something in her eyes that makes it completely worth it, because there's something inside of her that reacts to that. I like that, so I buy her flowers. What am I doing? I'm communicating to her my affection for her in a way that she understands. Now, it may not be the way that I would just naturally want to show affection to her, but it's a way that she understands it, right? I've known of men who would, heard of one man who bought him some magic markers, the kind for a dry erase board, you know, just wipes right off. And if he got up in the night, he would go into her bathroom where she gets ready in the morning, and he would write a little message on the mirror, right? And then cap it off, go right back to bed. And when she woke up the next morning, there was this message to her. I love you so much, you know. Well, a wife likes notes. Maybe you could get a sticky pad. Get you a sticky pad and just make little notes. And you know what? Put them around places where she'll find them. Put them on the dash of her car. What if you took a piece of paper, and this may take you a couple of weeks or whatever, put it on your desk and work on it gradually, but make sure she doesn't see it. What if you wrote 100 things that you love about your wife? I mean, you're going to get pretty specific, but what if you wrote 100 things that you genuinely love about your wife and give it to her? I'm going to tell you something, she won't ever throw that away. One of these days, you know, y'all will be dead and gone, and the grandchildren will open up an old trunk, and there it'll be, because your wife won't throw that away. What if you go to the glove compartment of the car that she drives, and you know you have the registration in there, and you have the insurance papers? In my case, I have an envelope. On the outside of the envelope, you know, you can write, "I give this to the policeman," right? What if you put a note in there that says something like this? Honey, if you're reading this, there's a chance that you've had an accident, and I want you to know that I don't care about the car. I just care about you. That's the Cary Grant category. You ought to take her out sometimes. You ought to take her out sometimes so she doesn't have to cook. And maybe if you have children, find someone to take care of the children for an evening and take her out and show her that she's... You know what? Every man wants his wife to act like she's a woman. I understand that feminine and feminist are side by side in the dictionary, but they're very dramatically different things. Ladies, get rid of any dominance in your personality. Be feminine. He wants you to be a girl. And then treat her like one. Show her the kind of kindness that you show a young lady. And treat her that way. That's the Cary Grant category. Number two, the Mr. Clean category. Now, here's where a man really, really gets confused, I think, because there is such a great chasm in his mind between romance and helping clean up the house. To him, that seems very disassociated, but not to her. Not to her. You want to speak in a way that your wife understands. You want to communicate affection to her in a way that she understands. Help her around the house without being asked. I'm telling you, it'll resonate with her. Now, sometimes we often have company at our house, and that's good. And I like the way Mrs. Colley likes to have people over. But you know what? When we're going to have company, she wants that house to be clean in places that nobody's ever going to look. And I try to come home, if I possibly can, an hour or perhaps 2 hours early. And I'll put on my blue jeans and I'll say, honey, you know what? You've got me for 2 hours. I am your slave, and I'll give me the hard stuff. And she'll always say the same thing. She'll say, do you mean it? I mean it. Yes, I mean it. And I'll just get to work. She'll say, will you clean the bathrooms? Sure, I'll clean the bathroom. I can do a great job. I can make that thing spick. I can do that. And I'll come back and, honey, you've got, listen, that just took a half an hour. You've still got an hour and a half. Do you mean it? Yeah. Would you vacuum? Yeah. You know what? Sometimes you could go in there and load that dishwasher. So sometimes you could go in there and pick up the dishes. Sometimes you could vacuum. Sometimes you could dust. And you say, it's her work. Why should I do that? Do yourself a favor and be good to your wife. Ephesians 5 says, he that loves his wife loves himself. Have you figured that out yet? You know, what you've got to do is to create an atmosphere where your wife can be what she needs to be. Ma'am, you need to create an atmosphere in your home where your husband can be what he needs to be, where this spirit of unselfishness can flourish. Number three, the Superman category. No, let's do that one last. I want to do the Santa Claus category. And this was self-explanatory. The Santa Claus category. And by the way, somebody told me a while ago, I won't mention names, that today is his anniversary. Well, it's his wife's too. And he remembered. I turned to him when he told me that, and I said, did you do something nice? He said, oh, yeah. I don't know what that was. Now that I've said it, I hope it was nice. But the Santa Claus category in marriage and how you treat your wife is about remembering important dates. You must do that. You simply must do that. I have a good friend, Bob, who lives in another city in Alabama, not where I live. But he and I are friends, and Sarah, his wife. They're wonderful people, faithful Christians. One year it was Sarah's birthday, and the fact is, Bob forgot. He just forgot a birthday. And so he got up, and she was preparing his breakfast, and she was humming, and she was happy it was her birthday, and she couldn't wait to see what Bob got for her birthday. And, well, he came down and gave her a little kiss, and he didn't say anything about it. And he went out to the truck. He was loading the truck, getting ready for work, and he looked under the truck seat, and there was a Hallmark card. The card was from last Christmas. It was to Sarah, but he'd forgotten to give it to her. And so he bebops in the house and he said, hey, I got you a Christmas card. Well, she thought it was, of course, her birthday card and opened it and realized that it was from last Christmas and he just forgot. And then it just starts dawning on her that he's forgotten her birthday. I mean, so her countenance starts to fall. And he kisses her goodbye and he gets in the truck and he goes to work. And that was it. Well, it was Wednesday. And so that evening they went to Bible study. And when they got out of Bible study, he said, I need to go by Walmart. And he went and bought a tackle box. And he came out to the truck and he pitched it in and he said, I bought myself a birthday present. At which time she said, you know what she said, don't you? She said, Bob, it isn't your birthday. It's mine. I don't know how you get past that. I don't know how. You know, they're still married, so I guess they did get past it. But if you want to show affection to your wife in a way that she will understand, you must remember anniversaries. You must remember her birthday. You must remember Valentine's Day. Now, it doesn't have to be extravagant where you spend all of your savings or anything like that. But what's important is that you do remember, because that's tied to something that she needs. She needs affirmation of your love, and that she is inside of you, and that you think about her even when you're not together, that you think about her, that you pay attention to these things. Number next, the Michael Bolton category. There's more than one Michael Bolton. I'm thinking about the one who sang "When a Man Loves a Woman." This one's really very simple. It's a rule. The rule is never, ever criticize your wife in front of other people. Just never do it. Sometimes a man, you know, he has a sense of humor, and he rather thinks it's funny if he says things of a critical nature and joking about how his wife can't do anything, or she doesn't do this as well as you do, or these biscuits are so good, you're a great cook, my wife's biscuits are so hard, you know, you could build them. And everybody kind of chuckles, but it's not really very funny. Never, ever criticize your wife in front of other people. And in fact, if you want to learn a great secret, it is this. Find things that you can compliment about your genuinely. Don't make it up. I'm not talking about cheap flattery here. Find things you can genuinely compliment about your wife and do it in front of other people. It'll make a world of difference. Just watch how she brightens up to know that you're proud of her, that you affirm her. I mean, you know that there are so many things right now that you admire about her, that you love about her, that you like about her. But maybe you don't say them. Say them. And say them in front of other people. Now, here's one of those things where action comes first and then feeling after that. All right? You say, well, this is kind of hard for me to do. I haven't thought about this, and I would have to force myself to do it, to think like, well, do it. Well, just do it. And the results will be great. That's the Michael Bolton category. Here's the last one, the Superman category. Now listen to me. The Superman category is simply this, that there will be times in your life as a married couple when your wife needs you, something that she's done, some problem she's facing, and she needs help. And you want for her to always reach for your hand first. I mean, you really do. How do you respond when she calls you on the phone? And she, well, I mean, suppose she calls you on the phone, you're at work, and she says, honey, I'm so sorry. You know what I've done? I've locked the keys in the car again, and I'm really sorry. Well, honey, where are you? I'm at Walmart. Which one? And it's the one that's way yonder, you know. It's a long way off, and I'm just so sorry. And now you got two choices, gentlemen. You got two choices. One of them is not, am I going to go unlock the car? You're going to go unlock the car. That's not one of the choices. But your choices are these. Number one, you could say, you locked him in the car again. You know what? This has happened over. Didn't I tell you last time you did this that you should get a key and put it under the bumper? But did you do it? You didn't do it. And I've got a client right now. I'm laying brick, or I'm building this, or whatever you do. I'm really busy right now. And I don't know. It may be a half an hour. Look, I'll get there when I can get there. Okay? Goodbye. And when you get there, you know she's going to be crying. I'm so sorry. You're busy. I'm so sorry. Well, no, why you can't think straight. Goodbye. Got to go. See you later. Now, how are things going to be that night at home? Stormy. That's right. He said stormy. I think that's a very pleasant word for how it will be. You know what? You just shot yourself in the foot. You reckon you're smart. You suppose you were smart to do yourself that way? But you did. I mean, it's going to take a couple of days to get over that because she's hurt. And you hurt her. All right, I said you had two choices, and one of them isn't, are you going to unlock the door? It's just about how you're going to react to this. So your wife calls and she says that, I've locked the keys to the car. And you take a deep breath and you say, you know what? Everybody's done that. I've done it, and I it's okay. It's okay. Tell me where you are. All right, I tell you what. Let me finish up with this client, or with what I'm doing right now. Let me finish up with this bucket of mortar, and I'm going to be right over. Now, are you in a safe place? Maybe you should go in the store and wait there for me. I want you to be safe, and I'll be there as quick as I can. And when you get there, she's going to say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know what? I know you're busy. And honey, it's okay. It's okay. Come here. Let me give you a hug. Everything's going to be all right. And let me unlock it. And then if you're really smart, Superman, what you'll say is this. You know what? I've got an extra 15 minutes. Want to get a cup of coffee? Now I want to ask you a question. How are things at home that night? That's right. Now you figured it. Now you get, I don't know what you said. What'd you say?
I did, but it won't be stormy.
Okay. Sunny and bright. Okay. All right. That's right. That's right. Now, figure that out. The Superman category is you're sitting in your easy chair in the Lazy Boy, end of a hard day, and you hear that familiar sound. She's moving furniture again in the living room. You know, a woman just takes a notion sometimes to rearrange furniture. Nobody knows why, but she does. And now what you could do is to, could you keep it down in there? I'm watching my favorite. No, you don't do that. Don't do that. Get up and say, honey, that's too heavy for you. Let me help you do that. Here, let me help you. Let me do that with you. You know what you're doing? Look, listen to me. Listen to this old preacher. I promise what you want, sir, is for all of her life when she needs help, when she needs a helping hand, you want her to reach for yours first, right? And treat her in such a way that shows that you love her. And what you're doing is communicating to that woman in a language that she understands. The old book says this, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's not instinct. Instinct is different from knowledge, isn't it? And some kinds of affection, you just know. They're just instinctive. I'm telling you that the way you show affection to your wife is not something that just instinctively comes to you. You learn it. It's something that comes from knowledge. And I hope that this lesson has been helpful to you. So Ephesians 5 says this, bottom of the chapter. He's been talking about husbands and wives and how marriage works right. And he sort of summarizes, he wraps it all up. And he says, nevertheless, let every one of you so love his own wife as his own body. And a wife see that she reverence her husband. You've been very kind to listen. I appreciate that very much. I wish God's richest blessing on your home and on your marriage. I happen to believe that the best husband in the world is a faithful Christian. The best wife in the world is a faithful Christian. Do you have a Christian home? If the answer is no, because you haven't obeyed the gospel, become a Christian tonight. Repent of your sins and confess Jesus, and we'll be happy to assist you in being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a member of the church, but you need the prayers tonight to be what God would have you to be, or to be restored, to say, I've been on the wrong track in my life, and you know it, and I want to make things right, you can dilute any negative influence you may have had over others, and you can be restored tonight. We'll pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you. You can live your life anew. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.